You know, all of the sermon training that I've gotten through the years, they always say, like, you have about 10 seconds to capture everyone's attention with some kind of, you know, story or illustration. And I think about that a lot. And so often when I get up here and I think about, we're praying, we're worshiping, I'm like, I would rather actually just have a moment to, like, quiet ourselves. We're about to read God's word. And I don't want to distract with, like, some illustration that I have, because I know, like, all week long, and I'm like you, we get, you know, everybody's just talking, you hear people's opinions all week long, and you know, have experiences and see things at work, and it's like just pressure all around, and like, just like we're spending time worshiping together, sometimes it's just like God's word, the reading of God's word just like washes over us. Do you ever just need that? That's what I would love our times together like this to be. And so I was thinking about getting ready again to stand up here, and there's this little book in the Bible called Jude, and it's only one chapter, has 25 verses, and Jude is the brother of James, who most scholars agree James was the half-brother of Jesus. So Jude is the brother of Jesus. He writes this little book, and that's all that he writes. It's like, I would like to know a lot more what it was like to live with Jesus. And this is all he gave us. But he addresses the danger of false teachers. That, I mean, out of all the things he could have written about, he thinks about what's coming toward the church, and there's going to be this danger of false teachers. So there's going to be people who, in his words, ungodly people who worm their way into your churches and start saying things that God's grace, you know, will just allow you to live however you want to live. And I just find that really interesting. That's what he would address. And then there's this portion in this book right near the end that just got my attention this week. And it's Jude chapter 1, verse 17. I just want to read it, and let's let God's word speak to us as we are continuing our journey on the Holy Spirit. Now, you might be thinking, did he start his sermon yet, or is this like the opening? Yeah, this, I already started. This is part of it. Verse 17 says, "But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you that in the last times or the last days, there would be scoffers." A scoffer is someone who makes fun of religion or makes fun of people who believe in Jesus. He said, in these last days, they're going to be scoffers whose purpose in life is just to satisfy their ungodly desires. "These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's spirit in them." Such an interesting statement. Follow your natural instincts because you don't have God's spirit in. "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives." There is this connection. You see it here. You see it all throughout different letters that are written to the church of the first century that we're still studying these scriptures today. The value of gathering together and being in relationship together is there's a protection that takes place. And I find it really interesting in this letter, Jude, who's writing this, says, build each other up in your most holy faith. And how to do that? You pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. So today I want us to consider, what does it mean to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit? So if you're new to Worship Center, if you're just jumping in, we've been on a journey to get to know who the Holy Spirit is. And I know in a room like this, many people have come from different backgrounds. You have all kinds of different teaching on who the Holy Spirit is and all the things about the Holy Spirit. So we've been committed to looking at God's Word. And so the first week we looked at simply the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. I'm just going to bring you up to speed on where we are. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will come from the Father, and he will testify about me. He says that in John 15, verse 26. Then we learned that the Holy Spirit fills people to reveal Jesus. There's this presence of the Holy Spirit who comes to live inside of a believer. And then there's this power of the Holy Spirit that kind of fills people so they can be part of what it is to reveal Jesus. And then last week we looked at the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each believer to reveal Jesus to others. So invited into this mission to reveal Jesus to others, and the Spirit of God gives gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one who decides and the one who distributes these gifts. And so what Paul said, and we looked at this last week, he said, eagerly or earnestly pursue the most helpful gifts with this motive to reveal Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says these gifts are for the common good. They're to help others. And so not only does the Spirit of God live inside and give you this power that seems to come upon and fill you, then the Spirit gives you these gifts that you can actually have a part in revealing Jesus to other people. And he just invites us into being a part of this great mission. And so today, where I would like us to take the next step of this journey, it's the whole idea of praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? Praying in the power of the Holy Spirit really is all about aligning your words with his purpose. So that your words actually, there's some significant impact that when God's word is in our mouths and we're aligned with the Spirit of God and the purpose that he's given us, we actually, again, can be part of revealing Jesus to this world. So really, this whole journey of the Holy Spirit for us as a church has been about how we can participate in this mission that Jesus gave his followers. And so today, I want to pick it up right where we left off last week. We read 1 Corinthians 12. The last statement Paul makes at the end of that chapter, he says, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And then he says, now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. So this comes on what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 12, that there's one Spirit and many gifts. There's one body, many parts, and they all work together. And so here's where Paul takes us on this next step. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but did not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but did not love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I did not love others, I would have gained nothing. And then he writes, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Maybe rest in that a little bit. That God knows you completely. It might be a little bit terrifying, but there's a level of comfort that God sees you and he knows. He knows the crossroads you're at. He knows you completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, if you've been at any weddings, you probably have heard at least once somebody pulling out, a pastor pulling out 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, right? The love portion is just a beautiful scripture to read at a wedding. Have you heard that? Yeah, I mean, I've read that many times at a wedding. And I'm not saying that's not a good use of it. I mean, imagine a marriage based on that. I think that would work out pretty well. But really, Paul's not addressing marriage here. He's addressing the body of Christ, one body, many different parts, one Holy Spirit, many different gifts, and everyone kind of working together. And he's highlighting there's going to need to be this kind of supernatural love, or else there's going to be some division when all of this plays out. Have you ever noticed when people start working together, there's always this potential of division and offense and comparison and competition? Have you ever noticed that? So Paul says in here, he says that there's these spiritual disciplines and practices, and if you speak languages of earth and of angels, and if you use these gifts and have special knowledge or this great faith that you can move mountains, or you sacrifice and give, and you could do all of that, but if it's not motivated by love, it's all for nothing. Amen. And so love must be this goal for us, this motive that is present in the body. And again, I just like to remind us that worship center is just a small part of the body of Christ. And there's many members in this one body working together, many different parts, all these different spiritual gifts. Love must be the motive. So the motive for the Holy Spirit to work in you and through you and to speak through you, this motive must be a genuine love for the Lord, number one, and for people, number two. And you're like, what kind of love is this? This is a love that is patient and kind. Not in competition, not jealous, not boastful, not proud. I mean, just imagine if this described the church today. Really, the only way that I think the church can function in this kind of love is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit is revealing Jesus to each of us, we begin to see, okay, my life is not about me then. I mean, I wish I would have learned this when I was younger, you know, through my teenage and young adult years. Because so much of my view on Christianity was like, okay, I want to pull out promises from God's word and I'm going to confess them, especially the ones about, money that God wants to bless and good health. So I'm just going to keep confessing those over my life. And it's like, and it was very self-serving. And I just think that, the longer I read this and I'm just praying that God would continue to reveal Jesus to me, and we see in here that it's like All of these gifts, you get to see just a little bit more and a little bit more, and it's still an incomplete view of who Jesus is until we see Jesus face to face. And we get this full picture and complete picture. But until then, we get all of these little glimpses, and this is why it's so important to your faith to be gathered together like this and to have the Spirit of God be moving, because we get just these little glimpses of who Jesus is. And that's all part of how we grow and mature in the Lord. So that's verse 13, and then I want to go into, or chapter 13, and then I want to go into chapter 14. And again, just let God's word wash us today. So continuing in this, again, in the vein, there's one Spirit, many gifts, one body, many parts. Verse 1 in chapter 14, Paul says, "Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church." I don't know what your background is on prophecy and speaking in tongues, but I want God's word to instruct us in this. Because there's been a lot of confusion around this. It's always interesting to me because if you look back at church history through the centuries, really, people have read this book, I mean this portion, but really read this book and have come to completely opposite conclusions. And so my prayer for us as a church is that we would see God's word. His word is living and active. It pierces our hearts and it exposes what's inside. And it prepares and equips God's people for every good work. So I want us to see what God's word is teaching us about this. Verse 5, Paul continues, "I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened. Dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, how would that help you? But if I bring you a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. Even lifeless instruments like the flute or the harp must play the notes clearly, or no one will recognize the melody. And if the bugler," is that how you say that word? Should have practiced that before standing up here. "If the bugler," I guess that's one who bugles, right? "If the bugler doesn't sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they are being called to battle? It's the same for you. If you speak to people in words they don't understand, how will they know what you are saying? You might as well be talking into empty space. There are many different languages in the world, and every language has meaning. But if I don't understand a language, I will be a foreigner to someone who speaks it, and the one who speaks it will be a foreigner to me. And the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church." There's that same thread that we see throughout in Paul's instructions here. Seek those abilities from the Holy Spirit that will strengthen this whole the whole church, that are the most helpful gifts. So Paul continues, "Anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying. Well then, what should I do? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand. For if you praise God only in the Spirit, how can those who don't understand you praise God along with you? How can they join you in giving thanks when they don't understand what you are saying? You will be giving thanks very well, but it won't strengthen the people who hear you. Now, is everything crystal clear about that? What Paul is instructing here, it seems to me, is that there's this private prayer language. We call it praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit. And it's a language, he says, it's kind of a language of angels or the language of heaven. And you don't understand what the words, you don't understand, you can't really understand them because they bypass your mind and you're just, and really a lot of times why it does that, I think, is because our minds, our human logic can, and our reasoning can get in the way of faith. And so it's this opportunity, this gift that God gives, this special ability that Paul calls it, to pray in tongues and in this other language. And he says it strengthens your faith personally. Then it also appears like there's this public speaking in another language. And it's one of the things that took place on the day of Pentecost. Many people were speaking in tongues or in other languages. And people heard them, actually understood. They were speaking real languages. They were from Galilee. They couldn't speak them. But people who heard them in those languages understood. They were saying things about how amazing God's works were. But Paul said it's important if they're public speaking in tongues that it's interpreted. And it's not that they're interpreted word for word. Here's what they said. It's what Peter did. He saw what was taking place and he said, here's what's happening. And he goes to the prophet Joel. He goes to God's word and says, this is what's happening right now is predicted by the prophet Joel. God said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all people, not just Jewish people, but it's going to be this good news of who Jesus is. Salvation is for all who call upon the name of the Lord. And Peter, he gives this sermon. He points to Jesus, said, you need to place your faith in him. Then this gift of the Holy Spirit will come, will be given to you. And 3,000 people got saved that day. And so then Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 said, you know, if you're going to pray in the Spirit, you got that gift. You're going to strengthen yourself. If you're going to do something publicly like that, it's got to be interpreted through God's word. He said, but I wish all of you would be able to prophesy. What is prophesying? What starts with getting God's word in our mouth. And the purpose of prophecy, what Paul says, it's to strengthen one another, encourage one another, or comfort one another. And so you might think, well, is it just somebody who comes up here and has the microphone and they're saying, thus saith the Lord, and they speak out and they try to say some kind of prophetic word? That might happen, but more often what I see in the body of Christ is people speaking God's word to those who they're in relationship with. And I see this take place, and it's a great place to start is just to pray for the people that you're connected to and just say, God, are you giving me a scripture for them? And maybe you're giving me some kind of encouragement for them or something that would strengthen them or comfort them if they're going through a hard time. You see how it's aligning with what the Spirit of God is doing instead of just coming up with our own ideas? And I don't think it has to be very dramatic, but I think this can strengthen the body when we're aligned with the Spirit of God's purpose, which is to reveal Jesus. And I see this in our church. I see people operating in these gifts of the Spirit, and sometimes I don't even know if they realize it, because they just want to be tuned in. They're not really even worried about, is this a gift of the Spirit or am I prophesying right now? It's just like, I want to be aligned to the Spirit's purpose to reveal Jesus. And God, if there's some way that you can use me to impact another person, I just surrender and keep myself humble before you. I see Kelly operating this so often. You know, she would just take the time to write an encouraging note to someone, and she'll discern a scripture so often, and she just writes that and she gives it to people. And I think she's operating in a gift of the Spirit, gift of encouragement. And she does enjoy writing these cards. I mean, she writes a lot, and so she does enjoy it, but I see the Spirit of God operating through her. I mean, if I wrote you a note, it would be like angels from heaven would have to tell me to do that, because it's not intuitive for me. So she's functioning in this gift. And there's something about words coming through a human, whether they're written or they're spoken, that just activates faith. And I can't really explain it completely. But I see these words God's word coming through a human speaking or writing encouragement right to them, it like activates faith in another person. God designed this body to function this way. And it's just, when I think about a step back, I'm like, this is just amazing. I don't know why God created it that way. And so just this week, Kelly was at an appointment, and there was like a young adult who was working there helping her. And at the end of the appointment, she had to sign her name on something, and she signed Kelly Milan. And this young adult who was working there said, "Oh, you're the pastor of Worship Center. You're the pastor's wife there." And Kelly just loves that so much, being known as the pastor's wife. And she's like, "Yeah." And so this young adult looks at her, and she said, "In 2020, I graduated high school, and you sent me a Bible and wrote me a note. And I still have that note hanging up, and I look at it just about every day." That was not a dramatic thing that Kelly sat down and said, "I think the Lord is gonna speak through me to do." It was none of that. It was just simply being faithful. Because every year we send Bibles and a card to all of our high school graduates. And it's an opportunity to speak God's word into these high school graduates. And hopefully it's strengthening them and encouraging them or comforting them. So you might be wondering, okay, where do I start? So I believe there's this hunger for God to just, not just God work in my life, there's this desire that I see in people in the church. And I think it's the Spirit of God moving, but not just God move in my life, but God move through me so I can be part of what you're doing in the earth today. 2024, these are just like so unique times that we're living in. And we need the truth of God's word, and we need the Spirit of God to move through us so that we can be part of revealing Jesus. So we're not just looking at our own lives, just living our own lives, doing our own thing, but being a part of what God is doing. And so you might have this desire. Maybe there's something stirring in you. It's like, I don't know where to start. What is praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit? Or should I just pray? You know what I would just encourage you to do? Just start by praying. You can pray in English or pray in Spanish or pray in tongues. It really doesn't matter to me. Just pray. Because you know what prayer is? It's communicating with Almighty God. And it's getting our hearts. And I've been guilty of making prayer too common in my life. You know, we pray over our meals at home, and it's like the food sitting there is like, "Dear God, would you bless this food?" And amen. And I'm not saying, I mean, maybe praying over a meal, it's not the time to be interceding, because I've been with people, and it's like the food's there, and they're praying, and they start, I mean, their prayer's like a minute long. And I mean, when your food's there, a minute is a long time. So I get that, but I also think sometimes sometimes I've made prayer too casual. Prayer is actually, you're communicating to Almighty God, and He hears our prayers. And so if I would say, "Man, I feel like God has given me something or shared something, and I feel like God is telling me to tell you this," if I truly believe that God gave me something to share with you, I'm gonna do that with fear and trembling. I'm not gonna do that casually. Because I don't wanna misspeak on behalf of God and cause confusion. So we must be very careful. And that's why I think a good practice, you know, some people have teach that, well, the gifts of the Spirit aren't needed today because we have God's word. And I would just strongly disagree with that, because I think the gifts of the Spirit actually work so well with God's word, because it will prompt you to speak God's word to other people. And so here's where we're closed today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Says this. I love these bullet points that Paul gives. He says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Whenever somebody uses always and never, I'm always like, there's got to be some exceptions, right? But the reason why you can always be joyful is because there's a joy that's available to you that's not connected to this world. And you can be joyful in every situation, every circumstance, no matter what. Never stop praying. It means you can be in ongoing communication with our Heavenly Father because of what Jesus has done. And he says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. That word stifle means don't quench. Don't extinguish something, a fire that might be burning, because there's a level of mystery around it. Then he says, don't scoff at prophecies. It means don't make fun of it, don't mock it. But he also warns us, he says, but test everything that is said. So just because someone has labeled it as prophecy, don't just automatically believe that God has spoken it. Paul is saying, test it, examine it, hold it up to this. This is the standard to measure any kind of prophecy. And if it's not of God, ignore it. Amen. Test everything that is said, and he says, hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Amen. That's his encouragement to us. Ma'am, could I invite you to stand? If you just have this desire for more of the Holy Spirit in your life, I mean, when you place your faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside. Jesus makes that really clear. But then Paul, he teaches and instructs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think what happens in life, because we get, you know, just all of the influences in the world that we live in, it's like we can get distracted, we can get discouraged, we can see different ideas and concepts and be like, is that true? I don't know. It kind of sounds true to my mind. I don't know if it is it true. And I think Paul continues to say, no, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to continue to reveal Jesus, and Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Amen. And so if you're hungry for the Spirit of God in your life, I just want to simply pray for you to be filled with the Spirit today. If you want to be filled, it's not going to be really dramatic, because it's for you. And Jesus said, anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink deeply, and you will be filled. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit, as in John 7. And so would you just bow your heads for a moment? And if you're not interested in this, you can just stand there and listen. It's okay. But if you are hungry for God to move in your life, I want to pray for you. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and I pray for the Holy Spirit to fill every person who is hungry. Would you fill every person who is thirsty for you? God, even those who may be reading God's word today and say, there's still a few more questions that I have, and I wish I could have those questions answered, and then I'll take this step to be filled. And I believe that you're inviting us to be filled, because when we're filled with your Spirit, we begin to see just a little bit clearer. God's word becomes a little bit more clear. How to live as a follower of Jesus becomes a little bit more clear. How to resist sin. How to repent and change your ways. The Spirit of God is called the Helper. And so I pray you would fill every person who is hungry and thirsty for you. And you would work in a new way in their life. And God, as they earnestly pursue the gifts of the Spirit that are the most helpful, I don't know what they are. Because the Spirit of God distributes and gives those out. He alone decides. But I do pray that we would earnestly pursue the most helpful gifts. And that we would align our words with the purpose of the Holy Spirit, which is to reveal Jesus. God, forgive us when we've made a Christianity about ourselves. Forgive us when we've been inward focused. And help us to see how we can walk in your Spirit every day. And I pray that in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Amen. Yeah, we thank God for his word. If you need prayer for any reason, if you just feel like you just would love someone to pray with you a little bit longer, we're going to have a prayer team down front. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus, come down. I'd love to talk with you or talk with one of our prayer team members. We'd love to pray with you. If you're new to Worship Center, I want to encourage you to stop by our Connections Room on either side of the auditorium. We have a great team of people there. I'd love to talk with you, help you get connected any way that we can. Next week, we're going to stay in this same journey on the Holy Spirit. We're going to look over the next few weeks. What is it to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to live, you know, at home, in the workplace, in relationships? So I'm excited about the next few weeks. So I hope you can stay connected with us. Hey, have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you here next week.